reading chapter 4, starting verse 16. Says this, I'm reading out the New Living Translation. It says, so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it. Whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have the faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. Verse 17, that is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God, who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Verse 18, and when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Verse 20, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight, God. Thank you for this Easter Sunday, Lord. Resurrection Sunday, Father, that you are not in that tomb, but you're sitting upon the right seat of the Father, Lord, making intercession for us. Father, thank you for this day, for the beautiful weather, for the worship, Lord. Father, I pray for your anointing right now. Your word is anointed, but Lord, I pray that you anoint my lips of clay. Lord, use me for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to do something real fast.
I'm going to get out of this suit jacket. Never been a big fan of them, but
feel more comfortable. It's a little warm up here, too. If I have title tonight, I'll simply talk to you. Three strikes and you're out. Three strikes and you're out, Satan. Our scripture tonight, going back to verse 17, it says this. Happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. Even though spring is in the air, amen?
Yeah.
Amen? It's not my favorite time of the season. I prefer fall, but I do like spring. And I definitely don't like those minus 7 degree temperatures we had about 6 weeks ago. Anybody like those? I didn't think we'd get any favors, any hands, any takers. Life begins to bloom in spring. We look around outside and the grass is starting to grow. We're starting to mow it in our yards. Keep mowing and trimming. The red buds are blooming. The flowers are coming back to life. The grass is green and dark green. And in the spring, we celebrate Easter, what we're celebrating today, amen? It's a great time of the year. The weather's getting warmer. We're starting to see things planted for summer and vacation and just a different time of season that we all enjoy. But on a non-spiritual note, to me, spring means baseball. I'm a baseball fan. I know Pastor Mike and a few others. Brother Tom was here. I was going to tease him a little bit tonight. But we know, as baseball fans, know exactly when spring training begins, when pitchers and catchers report in February. We begin when January, as soon as the Super Bowl is over, we begin to know when the dates are. And so the 1st of April means baseball season is starting, and in fact, it just started Thursday. But tonight, to talk to you just a little bit, and you know baseball, you know, if you know anything about baseball, there's three strikes and you're out, right? The batter gets up there and he has three chances to advance, to get on base. And with those three strikes, he's out. Tonight I want to talk to you, with the help of the Lord, about three times that Satan had a chance. Three step times he struck out. There's more situations in the Word, but tonight I want to talk about these three events. And I love our text tonight. It says, we serve the God who brings the dead back to life.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's a God that brings the dead back to life. Not only spiritually, or not only physically, but spiritually as well. Amen? Exhibit A, our resurrection. Amen. His resurrection that we celebrate today. Today is Resurrection Sunday. He resurrected, amen?
Amen.
He brings the dead back to life. Just like my fingers are sticking. First of all, first incident I look at tonight, Abraham and Sarah. The text was reading in Romans, and we're also going to go back to Genesis. God called Abraham away from his family, and he told him to move to a far-off land. No, this wasn't Abraham's idea. He didn't get up one day and say, look to Sarah and say, hey babe, I think we're going to get up and we're going to move to this far off country away from our relatives where we don't know anybody, we don't have any prospects, we're just going to go to this strange land, we're just going to go try to strike off and do it on our own.
Yeah.
No, he did not. God had to talk to him. God had to speak to him. It's part of God's plan. Genesis 12:1 says, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father, his family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous and blessing others." God had to speak to him. But there was one problem, one small problem in a great nation. Abraham and Sarah didn't have any children. That's a big problem, isn't it? You can't get a nation with nothing, right? You got to have some offspring. And Abraham and Sarah didn't have any children. It's kind of hard to start a nation without children. And they were not spring chickens.
Yeah.
Amen? They were winter chickens.
Yeah. Come on.
Bible says in the verses we read, Abraham was 100 years of age. Figured his body was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb as well. They're not young people. Right. They're older. And say old, I said older. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know what that means. That means a nation can't come out of a dead womb. A womb's dead. It's not going to happen. There's no birth going to come place out of her womb.
Right. Good, Brother Aaron.
It was closed, and it was good as dead. Can't you see Satan in the background snickering every time Abraham and Sarah got around each other, and they reminded each other God's promise, and they talked, and Abraham and Sarah was dreaming of what God gave to them, the promise, and yet they still didn't have any children. And every time, the old enemy, he was laughing at them and mocking them and snickering. And you can't get something out of nothing, or nothing out of something. I may mess that up, but you know what I mean. You can't take nothing and get something out of it.
Right.
You have to have something there. And so many years they wanted offspring, and nothing. Not the time passed, and time to conceive had passed, and this dream of having a nation was dried up and gone. But wait, remember what our verse says. It says this happened because Abraham believed God, who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing.
Right.
Nothing is impossible with God, church. Nothing is impossible. Even a dead womb, a womb that's dried up, God can touch and make her conceive. And he did that with Sarah. He came along and he told Abraham, about this time next year, you're going to conceive and have a child. You remember Sarah thought it was funny. She laughed. And who wouldn't blame her at her age?
Right.
It was over. There was no hope. But God had a different plan.
Yes,
even though Satan thought he had a plan, God had a plan that was better. Nothing's impossible. And he brought life back to Sarah's womb. After all, he's the creator. Amen. He designed the womb. He designed the body. He knows what he's doing. If he wants to have a baby come out at 100 or close to 100 years old, he can do it.
Yeah.
Because he created it. Amen.
Yes, amen.
He's our creator. He knows the exact design of our body down to our fingernails. And God brought something that was dead back to life in Sarah's womb.
Yes, sir.
And Satan tried to stop it. He tried his best. He tried to intervene, and when Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children, and the time was getting closer, they began to come up with their own plan, kind of like us sometimes. When we don't get God's promise, what do? We try to intervene, right?
Yeah.
We try to come in and make things happen on our own. That's exactly what they tried to do. They got Sarah's handmaiden, and they conceived Abraham, and then she conceived, and Ishmael was born. But this wasn't part of God's plan. But you see, the enemy was working. He knew God was up to something. And he tried to get Ishmael in there. And Ishmael was born. And God did honor him. But he was not the promise. The promise was Isaac. And Satan was trying to prevent God's plan. But just when it looked like the devil was going to wreck everything, he swung and missed. Strike one.
Yeah.
The enemy missed on this one.
Yeah.
He thought he had it planned, but he missed. Isaac was born. God brought that dead womb back to life. Sarah's womb birthed Isaac, and he became father of Jacob. And we know who Jacob became, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the nation of Israel was born.
Yeah.
The enemy missed on that one. Strike one. God can bring the dead back to life. Amen.
Amen.
The next person, the next situation I want to look at is Lazarus. Then there's Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick, the Bible tells us. It doesn't tell us what he was sick of, but it just tells us he was sick. And Martha and Mary were his sisters. And the Bible says that Jesus was very close to them.
Yes.
He was very friends. In fact, the scriptures almost make you feel like, and you can read into it, that they were almost like family to him.
Right.
And we all have those friends that they're not blood, but they're like family to us. Amen?
Yes.
And this was the same with Jesus. And when word got back to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, Jesus was in another city ministry with his disciples. And Jesus did something odd. He didn't immediately get up and go heal Lazarus. Bible says he tarried for two more days.
Yeah.
This was a man, Lazarus, that he was very close with. He did something very odd. So much of the time, and I'm right here in the line with you, with everyone else, we want the Lord to do something instantly.
Right.
We want him to do it now. Heal me now.
Yeah.
Lord, set me free now.
Right.
Lord, provide financially for me now. Lord, heal the pain now, now, now. Yes. Don't wait. Why did he wait? Why did he linger? But he is Lord, church, and he knows exactly the right moment. He's not a moment too early. He's not a moment too late.
Right.
If you like Toby Mac, listen to his latest song. How many's listening? Anybody listen to it? Check it out. He's always on time. It may be morning. It may be noontime.
Yeah.
He's always on time. Sister Mason was talking about that a while ago, too. He's never too late. He's never too early. He knows exactly what he's doing. So when he tarried, church, he was doing exactly what he knew, the Father's will. And he began to come over to make his way to Bethany. And when he got there, Lazarus was already dead. In fact, now he was going to a funeral. He wasn't going to a healing service, but he was going to a funeral because Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Martha and Mary began to start the funeral preparations. They wrapped the body and they buried him.
Right.
He was already dead. That's even longer than he was in the grave. 4 days, that's even longer than when Jesus was in the grave.
Uh-huh.
But the key tonight, church, is this. In John 11:25, Jesus told her, and I love this. He said, I am the resurrection. Did you hear that, church? You didn't hear that tonight. I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes, sir.
Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. You see, they didn't understand. They didn't understand that that was a funeral. And he was going there to, they thought he was going there to weep over his friend. The church, he was going there to resurrect him.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
God was going to get the glory. He is the resurrection. The reason we're here tonight is because he's the first of the resurrection. Amen. And one of these days, we're going to be the second. If he tarries his coming, if we go through the grave, he tarries his coming, and when the rapture doesn't come and we all pass away, we're going to come out of that grave. Amen. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Remember, he's the one that brings the dead back to life. When he got to that tomb, he told them to remove the stone. John 11:39 says, roll the stone aside. Jesus told them, but Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days, and the smell will be terrible. King James says, Lord, he stinketh.
Yeah.
That sounds like Arkansas language, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Lord, he stinks. There are some situations in that church in our life that are so dead that they stink.
Right.
Amen?
Come on, that's
they've been dead for so long that we buried them and we just moved on.
Yeah.
They've been dead. God didn't show up when we thought he would. Just like Lazarus. And they're dead and we buried them. And we mourned over them a little bit. And then by now we're like, Lord, don't even bring it up. It stinks. I don't even want to mess with it. And even though the thought of God breathing life into the situation, we just say, Lord, it stinks. And Martha was being frank. A body for 4 days wasn't going to smell very good.
Right.
But oh, our Lord loves to touch the situation, church. Just like Lazarus. He loves to take a dead situation, like Sarah's womb, like Lazarus' body. He likes to bring it back to life, even when the world says, no, it can't happen.
Right.
You know why he called him by name? He told him to move the stone. And he told him, he called Lazarus by name. You know why he called him by name? Because if he said, come forth, all the dead bodies would have came forth.
Right.
That's the power. We don't just serve anybody, church.
Yes, sir.
We serve the resurrection king.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We're talking about someone who is the resurrection. Whatever situation or circumstance that we have that's been dead and gone and buried and now stinks, the Lord can resurrect it. I have two brother-in-laws tonight. And over time, they've gotten hurt. The last 4 years, they've gotten hurt and they haven't spoken to each other. One lives in Louisiana. The other one lives in Bella Vista. Over family circumstances, they have gotten to the point where bitterness has just got a hold of them and they won't even speak to them. When one comes up from Louisiana, the other one won't be there. At Christmas time, one finds out if one's there and vice versa. And I'm telling you this tonight not because I'm wanting to let you know my family problems, but church, it hurts my heart for them.
Yeah.
It hurts my heart when you see brothers and siblings fight. I get on my kids all the time. I know that it's just part of growing up. But when they fight each other and they're bitter, man, it drives me insane. It's like, those are your brothers. War tears is coming. That's all you're going to have. You know, friends are going to betray you, but your blood, that's all you got.
Yeah.
So it hurts my heart that my two brother-in-laws are this way. Situation looks so dead, and it stinks. I pray about it in church. It seems like the more I pray, the further they get apart. And it stinks that I don't see how any way they're going to come back together. But God.
But God.
It looks like no hope. But then I read in Lazarus. I read and I get excited because I see that this man was dead for 4 days and there was no hope. There was no hope, church. It's not logical. But God.
But God.
Came on the scene. And it's not logical for my brother-in-law, but I'm praying that God will do something in their life. He'll get a hold of them and he'll bring them back together and they'll come together and that thing that stinks will be raised back to life. Amen?
Amen?
You have something in your life, every one of us do, that has a situation, a family member, something that just stinks and we're done with it. But God's here tonight, church, and he can say, I will touch it.
Yes,
one
sir.
Touch and it'll come back to life. My God can do the impossible. I'm looking forward to the day when God is going to heal them and he's going to reunite them. Church, I'm counting on it. Even though with my eyes, I don't see it happening right now. God's going to do something. And he's going to do something in your life too. In your family. He is the God who brings the dead back to life. And he creates new things out of nothing. I know I'm repeating that. But I want to get it home tonight, church.
Yes,
he's the God that takes a dead wound. He's the God that takes a dead man and brings him back to life. Strike two, Satan. As Lazarus came out of the grave, Jesus told him to unloose those grave clothes.
Yeah.
He was brought back to life. Amen. Strike two, Satan. You're almost out. And then the third thing I want to look at tonight is what we've been talking about all day, and that's the resurrection.
Yes, sir.
Luke 24:5 says, the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. The man asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? The last situation we're going to look at, and I just said that, is the resurrection. Satan thought he had hit it. Bases loaded. Two strikes. If you're a baseball fan, you know what I'm talking about. A bases loaded, two strikes, two out, grand slam when Jesus was crucified. When Jesus was crucified, when he was betrayed by his own disciple. When he was deserted by his disciples. When he was beaten to a pulp at the whipping post. When he was nailed on the cross, and an old rugged cross, a bloodstained cross. And then he died and was buried in a tomb and sealed with a large stone. Satan and his demons were doing victory laps. Amen? In the pits of hell, they were victory lapping. Jesus was crucified. The Nazarene was dead. So much for a Savior. So much for a Messiah. And now, it was wasting no time to throw a party of all parties as the enemy and his demons began to whip it up. Amen? Can you imagine? I mean, they defeated the one man that came on the scene that was doing all kinds of miracles and stirring up all kinds of things. And here he was. He had taken him down.
Yeah.
He was buried in a grave. And it was going to be the party of all parties.
Yes.
If anybody listens to Carmen, remember the old song, Sunday's on the Way. That's kind of got me thinking about that. But he was getting ready to have this party with his demons and his imps. But wait. And we sung about it a while ago. There was a knock on the door. And Satan's lair, amen? And Jesus, he'd been crucified, but as he was in that tomb, he was making his descent down to the pits of hell, amen? He had something. The devil had stolen something from us, from mankind back in the Garden of Eden. And it was called the keys of life and death. And Jesus was coming to take them back, amen? And church, I believe that the enemy didn't have to, he didn't put up a fight once he met the power of Jesus, amen? And Jesus said, give me back the keys of life and death. And he took them and he rose. He came back out of it, he descended out of the pits of hell, and he came back out of that tomb, amen?
Yes.
And that tomb is empty tonight.
Amen.
Bible says we just sung it about 5-10 times, which is great. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15:55. Church, death has no victory.
No.
Grave has no sting, amen? We may die physically, but that's not going to be the end. Again, what I said, the Bible's going to say the sound of the trumpet. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, amen?
Sure.
We're going to get out of here. The grave doesn't have any victory anymore. The grave couldn't hold his body down. Death had no power over him. Our Lord arose, and he was seen over 500 witnesses. It wasn't a hoax. It's the truth tonight, church. And that's strike three. Amen. In baseball, that means you're out. Satan, that means you're out. The game's over. You go set your snake slithering smooth foot self on the bench. Amen.
Yeah.
And you wait for the time that you get your rear end kicked into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it's coming.
It's coming.
Amen. I have an imagination. And I hope and pray that the Lord allows us to, each one of us to get a kick. Amen. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
I'd sign up for that. Just get a big old kick.
Yes.
Slap on the back of the head. Hey, it can, don't look at me that way. It can happen. Our God's good, amen? We get to heaven, it's going to be great. Talk about the enemy having a party. We're going to have a party of all parties, amen?
Yes, sir.
The marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm looking forward to that. You think we got food here? Just wait till we get to heaven.
Yes, sir.
Our God is good. It's coming. The enemy's time is up, church. He is struck out. There's more times in the Bible he struck out. Those are just three that I picked out. Church, the enemy's defeated. He's under our foot. The thing about the resurrection says today is the enemy is defeated. When Christ came out of that grave, he went to the cross because it was a sacrificial lamb. But when he came out of that grave, if he just went to the cross, church, the story would have been finished. But he continued out of the grave. Amen. He resurrected. And the enemy's defeated. Satan's future is already written. He has no power over you tonight. He's defeated. But church, he's a sore loser. And he wants to take as many people down with him as he can. He knows he's defeated. He knows his future. You know, if he comes on you hard and heavy, just remind him of his future. He knows what's going to happen. The church, he's a sore loser. He wants to bring as many people as he can down with him. But remember this, you serve the resurrected king tonight, who was a sacrificial lamb for yours and mine's sin. And he didn't stay the slaughtered lamb, but he came up out of that tomb. Amen? His followers thought it was over and dead as they wept for him that morning, that night when he was crucified. And the ladies went to the tomb to prepare to anoint the body. They thought it was over. The disciples scattered. The church, 3 days after that third day, he arose. Amen. Or on the third day, he arose.
Yeah.
We serve a mighty God. Stand with me tonight. We serve a mighty God.